This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Hello, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with Wells Tech, episode 398 for June 23rd, 2015. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesday, as usual. Only one thing different this week. I'm flying solo. My lovely and talented co-host, Sally Draper, is not with us. She's enjoying some R&R with her family out camping this week in northern Wisconsin, or in the Wisconsin area. So we hope that she's definitely not tuned in and is kind of tuned out to all technology and is just enjoying her time with her family and nature and God's creation. So I can tell you already, though, Sally, I miss you. Even though I felt like a husband whose wife was leaving for a week, with the instructions that were provided, and maybe meals tucked away in the fridge and the refrigerator in the freezer. Sally left me well prepared, so hopefully the show will go off without a hitch, and we will definitely better appreciate Sally once she's back. So hopefully we've got a good show for you. As I mentioned, it's episode 398, which means two shows to go. Basically one show in between now and our Wells Tech conference and number 400. So we're really looking forward to that, having everybody at the conference join us if they can, and all of you, if you can't be at the conference, at least you can join us for the podcast. That's going to be not on Tuesday, but that is going to be on Friday. I believe it's Friday. I don't have Sally here, so she would correct me. It's in the afternoon or early evening, so we'll tell you next week. So what am I going to monologue about this week? When Sally and I were debating, and she picked a couple topics for herself, she actually had a little help the first time with the first show I was missing 3 weeks ago with Jason Schmidt. Thank you, Jason, for joining, Sally. We were kind of debating what to talk about, and one thing, and we kind of talked about, well, what we're passionate about. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about lately is social media and how to make that easier for individuals and especially congregations and schools to use those really essential tools that God has placed in our hands, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, those kinds of things, because they take a lot of work. I mentioned I think I called them essential. They absolutely are essential, I believe, these days, because communications are expected to go across those wires, whether they be parents, congregation members. They expect some kind of digital communications coming out of your organization, and almost everybody is on Facebook. More and more people are on Twitter. Another one is Instagram. That you have to kind of think about these social networks in a couple of different dimensions. One of them would be for external communications, and this could be people that aren't in your inner circle, your people that you see in church or school every day or week. They could be extended family, could be prospects. I believe tools like Facebook especially are not as good at external communications, because they're really meant for people who already know each other. So for reaching out to prospects, those kinds of things, potential parents, Facebook maybe not the best tool, Twitter maybe, but I would say internal communications are the sweet spot for tools like Facebook especially. So keep that in mind as you're developing your approach to using social networks. Internal communications are maybe the best use of those tools. So I do want, and I'm going to spend most of my time talking about Facebook and Twitter, but I do also want to mention maybe what I believe is the next Facebook, the biggest up-and-coming social network out there, and that is Instagram. Instagram is basically photo and now video-based sharing. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, and I believe that's going to prove to be true as Instagram is really, really popular, and I think we'll kind of get that top seat at some point in the future because it is so visual, so useful for sharing just short bits of information and sharing those images as more and more people have those cameras with them right on their phones these days. So let me, I broke this segment down into a couple sections. I want to talk a little bit about some content tips and social media tips. And then I want to share some resources that I put together for some talks that I've done in the recent past. And then finally cap off this section with just a quick demo of one of my absolute favorite tools for automating posting to social media, and that's a tool called Hootsuite, H-O-O-T-S-U-I-T-E. And those of you watching, I'll do a little screen sharing at that point and show you some of the tools. I'll walk it through verbally for those of you that are listening in the audio feed as well. So I promise a couple tips. I've got two categories of tips: content tips and social media tips. The content tips are pretty straightforward and kind of common sense kinds of things. I think everybody probably understands these days that you can't write a book or even a 500-word essay and expect people to read it over social media. So brevity, brief but with purpose, is kind of important to keep in mind as you move into the social networking space. Try and figure out how to say what you want to say, how to encourage what you want to encourage, how to achieve your objective with as few words or an image as possible. So brief but with purpose. So that's content tip number one. Content tip number two is obviously you have to be relevant. So that means you have to know your audience and what you're saying, what your whatever it is that you're posting on a social media outlet needs to have some relevance to the person reading it, or over time you'll either get unliked or ignored. So relevance is equally important as brevity, and brevity kind of leads into irrelevance. Tip number three is engaging. There needs to be some way for you to reach out and extend a hand or encourage them to reach back to you. That could be through question, engaging conversation, asking them to do something, to say something, to somehow engage with the content. So it's not just this passive television-like experience. Social media is meant to be relational. So that's another word we could use, relational or engaging. So that's tip number three. And remember, we're talking just about your content. So as you're thinking about what to post, brief, relevant, engaging. And then the fourth one, you can maybe already guess, media rich. It needs to have some kind of accompanying media with it. So a picture, some kind of imagery, maybe a video, audio file, whatever, something that is going to enhance, enrich, add to the message. Or for many posts, the only reason the media is there is to grab the attention, to say, hey, pay attention to this, because if it's just text, even if it's an eye-grabbing headline or first couple words, images are going to do a lot better. And we've talked about that on the show before. Just that hook really needs to be something that is visual or audio, something that won't require them to read and process a sentence, subject, noun, subject, verb, whatever. The next set of tips, I think, are particular to or specific to social media. So I call them social media tips. And these all come from a presentation that I do on social media. I've done it a number of times for pastor conferences, teacher conferences, for some consulting engagements. So tip number one, when you're thinking about using social media, is you have to know your audience. Identify who it is that you're trying to reach. And that will somewhat dictate what media channel or what social media tool you use. Is it Facebook, Twitter? Is it text messaging? Is it email? Is it website? Is it, you know, Instagram? All those questions get answered a little bit more easily if you know who your audience is. And in order to identify your audience, you really need to put together a team that understands different audience types. So typically a team of middle-aged white guys like myself aren't going to be able to come up with content or ideas to communicate with people outside of our group. So your team, your communications team needs to be diverse. So that would be tip number two. Tip number three is use a team. Sometimes what I find when I visit congregations or schools, their social media endeavors are one person. That is ultimately going to fail because that one person usually gets busy, gets tired, goes on to other things. So it's important to use a team, not just for continuity, but also for the ability to look at all these different kinds of audiences, any different kinds of communication types. So keep that in mind. Next is use media, pictures, videos, etc. So that's a social media tip in general, other than just a content tip. Incent or engage. I already talked about engaging the audience, but sometimes incentives are good. Post all news and events. So you really need to look around, scope out the entire landscape of your church or school or organization and say, what do we need to report on? What do we need to talk about? Our organizations are newsmakers. There's something going on all the time. It's a new sermon series, Bible class, VBS, new member, whatever. All kinds of reasons to post on social media. So it should not be hard to find content. Another tip is create a content schedule. And I've got an example of that. Those of you that are looking on, let me give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. So here is an example. By the way, Sally, I've never had this many tabs open on my browser as I do today, and it's probably not near what you normally have, but I feel your pain. But I've got a lot of tabs open. One of them happens to be our content schedule template, which I put together just as an example. And the way it works is down the left-hand column, you have all the dates. So I have one line or one row for every day of the year. And then across the top, my columns represent different kinds of content or categories of content. It may be a little bit small on the screen, but first column is devotional. Second column is news promotion. Third column is prayer. Fourth column is questions and surveys. Fifth column is images and videos. Sixth column is time. Last column is objective. So the way this works is these first five columns get content plugged into them. So for instance, on my devotional column, and these are just examples. So I have what I call hump day psalm. So on Wednesdays, that's psalm day. So we're going to find a psalm that we're going to share and maybe share a few devotional thoughts about. Thursday, memorization. So a passage that you're challenging your people or your kids to memorize. Friday is sermon text and theme, so a little bit about what's coming up on Sunday. Saturday is worship helps. We have those available in RSS feed and on our whataboutjesus.com site, so you have the ability to maybe share that on Saturday. And then Sunday maybe is a day off, and then Monday a hymn insight. So that's just an example of the devotional column. And then a subcolumn next to each item, each piece of content, is what social network you'll share it on. So for Hump Day Psalm, it's Facebook and Twitter. For memorization, maybe that's only Twitter. Sermon text theme, Facebook, Twitter. Next column, news and promotion. So I have on Thursday, social share day. So on Facebook, you're providing content that you're encouraging your members, your school parents to share. Maybe on Monday, you talk about Bible study opportunities, etc. In your prayer column, that's pretty easy. Maybe on Wednesday, it's your hospitalized this week message that goes out. Maybe Sunday, it's a prayer for worshipers. Maybe the next Sunday, prayer for visitors, prayer for communicants on Communion Sunday. That's an example of your prayer column. Questions and surveys. Maybe you post a Wells Q&A highlight. You can go to the Synod's website and find an intriguing question. And then again, where you're going to post that. Maybe on the following Monday, you have a request out for Bible study topics. And then image video, sermon imagery, sermon video posted, so you're letting people know that it's out there. And there maybe sermon imagery goes on Instagram. And then your time column says when during the day you're going to post that. Now that becomes really hard if you don't have a tool like I'm going to talk about here with Hootsuite. But for instance, the Hump Day Psalm is going to be posted at 5 o'clock, just in time when people come home. So you really want to time it so that when you're viewing it, it has a chance to be toward the top of their feed, which is how social media typically works. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the newest feed is at the top, typically. And then another good column to throw in here is objectives. Why are you doing this? What is the goal of posting this? So social share day, what kind of objectives might you have? Maybe 10% of your people sharing something. So lots of different opportunities here to think through. And I would, in general, kind of go a quarter at a time, maybe a month at a time, but a quarter at a time might be a good start. And it doesn't have to be as dense as this particular grid is, but you should have something every day or two that appears in social networks, more if you can, because again, you've got lots of opportunities for content. So that's just an example of a content schedule template, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. Another thing I wanted to share is my Pinboard list. I've talked about Pinboard in the past. Pinboard is just kind of a social link sharing site. And presentations that I've used, different e-books that we've talked about in the past, Instagram Ideas for Church, Twitter Ideas for Church, 10 Ways to Use Facebook in Your Ministry. This content schedule template is linked here. Effective storytelling with social media, a blog post from Church Mag, something talking about Facebook groups. When do you use pages? When do you use groups? Facebook Fun for Churches Part 1, 5 Twitter Ideas, etc., etc. So I will post this link in the show notes as well, and you can grab all this good social media goodness. With that, I wanted to talk a little bit about Hootsuite, hootsuite.com, hootsuite.com. And if you're watching at home, I've got the price list up at the top. There is a free, let me make this a little bit smaller so I can get it all on the screen and it's a little bit bigger for you. There is a free track, and it allows you to connect up to 3 social profiles. So it could be Facebook, Twitter. They don't support right now Instagram, probably for a couple of technical reasons, but they do support Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google Plus, as well as WordPress sites. You can also monitor Instagram and YouTube, those kinds of things. You just can't post to them. And you can see as you go up the tree, the pro version, which is $9.99 a month. I believe there is a nonprofit version. I don't know how much it is. I've just been using the free version because that has met my particular needs. But for $9.99 a month, hopefully less for nonprofits, you can do up to 50 social profiles. You have some advanced messaging scheduling. You can use Teams. That's a big deal if you're a larger organization or if you have a team of communicators. One thing to keep in mind that when you're doing social networking, you want to be careful, obviously, about what you're sharing. And it's sometimes a good idea to have an approval process. So if you have a team, you can delegate who's supposed to post. And in some of these, you can assign what team member is supposed to post what. There's a little bit of a scheduling task management tool within Hootsuite. But then before it gets posted or before it gets scheduled, it can go through maybe you as the webmaster, somebody who, or the pastor or the principal, who's going to approve every social media post that goes out. So kind of a nice way to regulate that and make sure that things are the way you want them. So you'd have to pay for the pro plan, but it may very well be worth that. You also have message archiving with the pro plan, which you don't in the free plan, although there are ways around that where you could keep all your posts in a spreadsheet or a blog or something like that. You get a little advanced technical support and a few other features. And then the premium service, they don't even give a price for. But I can't imagine many of our churches or schools or organizations would need the premium plan. But the pro plan or the free plan is probably good enough. So let me log in and let me show you a little bit about how it works. So I'm going to log in with my personal Hootsuite account. We have one at the Synod that we use as well. But you'll notice right away that I see feeds. So the home page is just all your feeds, so you can kind of see what's going on. So it can act as a kind of a dashboard for your social media. So if people are replying or liking, you can see that right on your home screen. But really the guts of the application is the publisher feature. So when I go into publisher, I have at the very top a compose message and profile section. So by default, whenever I send something out, it's going to go to Facebook and Twitter. So I can select those. Right now none are selected, but let me select Twitter and Facebook. So right now it's going to go out to each of those, and I can add as many of these accounts as I want. Remember, there was a limit of 3 with the free version, so I'm going to send it out to Wells Tech as well. So I'll send it out to my personal Twitter, my personal Facebook, and our Wells Tech Twitter account. And then right beside it is the place that you would compose the message. And it's kind of nice that it reminds you what your character limit is. And for Twitter, it's 140 characters, and for Facebook, it's 2,000. As I look at the bottom of the compose window, I have an add a link, so I can add a link right there. I can attach an image or file. Here's that scheduling icon, which or scheduling function, which I'll talk about in a minute. You can add a location. You can add some targeting options and some privacy options. So you know that when you post on Facebook, you don't have to post to the entire world. You can post to a certain list or group of friends, or even smaller, you know, smaller or bigger yet, or public. So let me just type in a quick message. So right now I'm screencasting. Why don't I say podcasting to our faithful Wells Tech audience, demonstrating Hootsuite. Spell it right, Hootsuite. And for my add a link, I am going to just put in the Hootsuite address, so I can encourage other people to take a look. And that's done. And it has an automatic URL shortener. It uses hd.ly. And I'll just say, give it a try if your church or school. Obviously, I'm over my limit. And you got to kind of massage it, because on Facebook you can send a longer message, but on Twitter you're limited to 140 characters. So try it for your church. Social activities. Okay. Now do a little more editing so I can get under my limit, and I'm going to just send this to Wells Tech at this point. And what I'm going to do is schedule it. So I typed in the message. Now I don't want to send this. Maybe I want to send it a little bit later in the day, or maybe I want to send it tomorrow morning. So I'm going to hit the scheduling button, and up pops a calendar, and I'll pick the day I want to send it, and I can pick the time of day I want to send it. So maybe I want to send it tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, say 7:30 a.m. That's maybe about the time the podcast will be coming out, after we get it all cleaned up, and then I'm gonna hit schedule. And so now it appears. Now if I did another one of these will all stack up. I can see them on a calendar. I can delete them at any point before they get sent out, and it's just an easy way to schedule a bunch of different social media posts, and they'll go out, and you won't have to kind of time your send other than putting it on a calendar. So I think just a neat little tool that might be well worth you considering if you are in charge of social media. So again, that is Hootsuite. Hope that was useful for you. And again, we'll put all these links in the show notes. I can whittle away some of these tabs, kind of a nice roadmap. We're going to move on to our next segment, and that is our news in tech. And news in tech was is kind of tech related. You probably didn't know, well, maybe you did. There is something I learned this week, that there is something called a leap second. And a leap second is, according to Wikipedia, is a 1 second adjustment that is occasionally applied to the Coordinated Universal Time, or UTC, in order to keep its time of day close to the mean solar time, or UT1. And I came across this because got an email from a retired pastor, one that I used to work with on a couple of different committees, and he shared this with me, and I don't know if it was original to him, but he talked about this leap second concept, and he really tied it into a spiritual application, which was kind of neat. So on June 30th this year, happens every 10 years, it says June 30th will be, I'm just reading a couple of segments from his email, will be a bit longer than usual. Instead of the usual 86,400 seconds, June 30th will have 86,401 seconds. So it's called a leap second. Counting June 30th, 26 such seconds have been added in the last 44 years. That figures out to about 0.6 of a second added each year. These leap seconds are added because the Earth is slowing down as it spins on its axis. The spinning of the Earth on its axis is what gives us day and night, of course. Assuming that this slowdown is the Earth's, in the Earth's spin has been constant for the past 6,000 years, we can calculate that it takes the Earth about 10 seconds longer to complete one revolution, a day and a night, today than it took 6,000 years ago. This is not a problem for those of us who believe that God created the heavens and the earth about 6,000 years ago, but it is a real problem for those who believe the earth to be billions of years old. The last number I read was 10 billion years. As an aside, one can remark that it seems as if the earth gets several million years older each year. It says that kind of tongue-in-cheek. If indeed the earth is 10 billion years old, then either it would have been spinning so fast 10 billion years ago that it would have been shaped like a pancake, or if not that fast 10 billion years ago, then it should have stopped spinning by now, and we would have 6 months of daylight followed by 6 months of darkness. Yes, even as the earth groans under the curse placed upon it because of human sin and slows down, it still proclaims, God made me. Very interesting take on a scientific fact. Now, I can't vouch for any of the facts that are there. I know what I read on Wikipedia and such, and I don't know, if all the science is absolutely right, but I believe the point is a valid one. So even science can testify to the greatness of God and suggests maybe the age of our world. So interesting news in tech this week. All right, next segment I have for you, as usual, and I'll put links to some of this in the show notes as well. Next segment I have for you is our Wells Now section. And our Wells Now section reminds you of something we talked about a couple weeks ago, and maybe Sally reminded you of it as well. Let me share screen again. And that is the Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Convention, LWMS for short. It's being held in Rapid City, South Dakota, June 25th through 28th. So that's coming up this week. And the reason that it made our news or our Wells Now section is we'll be live streaming three segments of that convention. I believe that's the first time ever for live streaming. So the first one will be Thursday evening, 8 o'clock Central. That'll be, I believe, the opening service, which has been really spectacular in years past. The next segment that will be streamed would be the following morning, 9:15, Friday morning, Central Daylight Time. And then finally, the afternoon session, 2:15, Central Daylight Time. I don't think that's the close of the convention, but lots of good opportunities to see the wonderful ministry that that LWMS is involved with. And anybody that I ever talk to about the LWMS convention can vouch for the fact that it is an experience not to miss. So, but if you have to miss it, you can at least take a peek in at some of these live streamed sessions. So go to livestream.com/WellsLive, Wells Live, WELSLIVE, livestream.com, and you can see the schedule there. Next is a little lonely category here, our picks, in this case, pick of the week. My pick this week is a tool that I had heard a lot about. I've been in the news actually for maybe a year or so, and the technology committee of the Wells Hymnal Project, on which I serve, decided to kick the tires on this tool as well. So I got a little firsthand knowledge, and it's a product or tool, a project management, or I'd almost call it a communications management tool called Slack, slack.com. And Slack has kind of taken the approach of email is not what it used to be. In fact, it's very inefficient, especially for internal communications. So I'd call Slack kind of an instant message Slack meets social network tool. So if you're looking on the video at this point, and I'll describe it for you audio listeners as well, it's a very clean interface, and it's made up of kind of three different areas. An area called channels, and that's where you can kind of create your own little groups around content or around people or teams. You can create as many channels as you like. So for instance, you could create a website content channel or a social media content channel that would allow the different people who have access to the channel, and you can kind of secure these, to just participate in that channel. And you go back and forth, discussion board style. You can see I've added a few things here. I added a blog post, one of them from USA Today, about Slack. The CEO of Slack says, from log cabin to Flickr to the end of email. So his goal is to get rid of email, at least for internal company communications. So channels can be about anything that you want. Direct messages, so one-to-one communication. So anybody who has an account, you can click on their name and just type. And you can do all kinds of things with the communication that you want to send. You can upload a file. You can create a text snippet, create a longer form post where you've got some editing capabilities. You can add different styles to them. There's emojis in true text message style. And then you can create these private groups. So channels are definitely public, but private groups can be smaller groups and used for just internal communications where you don't need to share that. What happens with the content is it's all indexable, and you can favorite things so it stays right up in front of you so you don't lose it as it goes down the stream. You can use the at sign before a person's name, and they get email notifications, so you don't have to live totally within the tool. But you have lots of flexibility. You can be on lots of different Slack accounts, and the tool is free. They do have some freemium models, so if you really leverage this and want to go whole hog into it, It might cost you something, but we've found so far that the free version works works really well. It's visually appealing, all kinds of mobile applications, so Android, iOS, there's a web version, there's a Mac and Windows version that are installable. So no matter where you are, you have the ability to use this internal communication, I would call it an internal communications tool. So that's what Slack is. That is my pick. Give it a try. Let me know what you think. Let's move along to our community feedback section. And this section, we'll see how well I do, because I don't know that I've ever done a community feedback section. So I'm feeling, and Sally does it so well, and it's just amazing to me now that I had to work with this myself, what an amazing job she does, what a blessing she is to the podcast. I'm sure you guys all would agree. But so let me give my best shot at community feedback. The first piece of feedback we got was from John Sankey from Oakfield, Wisconsin. And he writes, do you know of any congregations that make their Spanish services sermons available online? We have about 200 Hispanic workers at the canning factory in Oakfield. We'd like to try to reach out to them with the gospel message. I responded real briefly and I said, we do have some resources. I wasn't aware of resources beyond this one, but I know that our Synod website does have a website devoted to Spanish outreach. And let me just quickly share that screen. And that is El Mensajero Luterano. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And it does have some interactive content. It does have audio and video, and fairly well maintained. It has our El Mensajero Luterano newsletter. So yeah, this would be a resource for your Spanish speakers. I also copied Mike Hartman, our missionary in, or I don't know if he's called a friendly counselor or what his title is these days. Sorry, Mike, I should know that. But Mike Hartman shared some resources as well, and talked a little bit about some recent content that they have launched along with their Academia Christo site. And he referenced a couple videos in his email back to us. Walking Alone Down the Street was their newest video. He says, FYI, the music is by missionary Terry Schultz, who was our missionary for many years in Haiti. Just saw Terry the other day, so shout out to you, Terry, if you're watching or listening. The video is a joint project of MLP and Resurrected Christ Lutheran Church here in Lyon. We're using it to promote the video Bible study concept to a wide audience and targeting non-Christians in Latin America. I realize the video is probably not that appealing to the Caucasian U.S. audience. It's very Mexican. So just wanted to share that. He also says that they have created three additional songs and made those available. And then he provides a link to that video in the attached, there is an attached Bible study. So some great resources here. And the Academia Christo site, it does not have an English version, so you will have to know Spanish to go there. But there is a number of video and audio content there that could be used to reach out to our Hispanic prospects. Our next piece of listener feedback came from Jason Winget. This was via Digo, and he has taken it upon himself, and we're so thankful that he did, to add some content to our Wells Tech Wiki. And the content that he was able to post has to do with Final Web. He said, if you are streaming in an HD format, which I know more and more of our churches are using, the Final Web streaming service, if you're using the Final Web streaming service, this is a page on how to update the player to be an HD player. So there's a player that goes along with the Final Web product. There's also some other bonuses with the customer player, including automatic start and custom message when you are not broadcasting. He gives a little plug. This will be covered at the 2015 Wells Tech Conference in my Streaming Without a Canoe session, the intermediate session. I think he's doing two. So he's giving a sneak peek there. So he has been gracious enough to post a wiki post for upgrading to HD, and he talks all about what scripts to use and what settings to put in there. So take a look at that. It is under the website creation and maintenance section, Webmaster Tools widgets section. So take a look at that. Jason also shared a blog post from Vice.com, motherboard.vice.com, where the article, the blog post is entitled, Churches Are Using Facial Recognition to Track Members, this startup says. So the startup called Skakash, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, has a program called ChurchIX, ChurchIX, and the interview with the CEO of this company that sells this product that churches use is a little bit dodgy about what churches are using it and how they're using it. But basically, the article goes on to say that some churches are using facial recognition software, cameras that are posted, you know, in the facility someplace to know who is who's in church. And kind of interesting. I don't know how I feel about that. Some of the churches are, at least according to the CEO, using it to identify criminals and sex offenders. So take a read, see what you think. I'm thinking this is kind of a slippery slope. What Jason said in his in Indigo, as he shared this, is, I'm not sure what to say. Pastor may already be doing this from the pulpit. Ushers may be doing it for your church, but when a computer is recording this information, does that make it wrong? Good moral question. Certainly, if you're doing it without the congregation's knowledge, that's probably not a good idea, not a good PR move. You probably would be surprised how facial recognition is being used in a lot of different places. So take a look at the article. Thank you for sharing that, Jason. It's a whole new world. The next piece of feedback we got was from Tom Gunderson. And Tom is from, he's a chairman of St. Paul's in Grant Park, Illinois. He also works for a company that does AV work. And he says, we're starting to look into recording streaming of our services. And I also am looking to help a fellow congregation out there who's looking to do the same. Live stream would be nice, but more importantly, a way of archiving and possibly putting on a tablet to take to shut-ins to watch who may not have internet available. I have a few thoughts, but I thought I would check with you guys first if you've got any recommendations on what the Synod or other congregations are doing and successful with. I did a little research, and I've been asked this before, so it's not totally off-the-wall question, and this is probably something that a lot of congregations are thinking about, especially the taking the content to shut-ins on mobile devices, maybe iPads or Android tablets, whatever, and they may not have internet available to them. The one tool that I like the best, and one tool and then a mobile app that goes along with it, is the Vimeo app. So all of our Synod videos go on Vimeo, Vimeo.com. It's not a streaming site, but once you've streamed, let's say to live stream or to, like we're doing with Google Hangouts, you can download that video and then republish it or post it on Vimeo, which is maybe a more permanent site and a lot more features. You can have channels and albums and do some editing, that kind of stuff. But you can also download from Vimeo into their mobile app. And their mobile app has now a feature that does offline content. So if you wanted to populate a device with that content, you could use the tool right from Vimeo, grab the content you want, just click the button, it downloads, and then they can use the Vimeo app right on the mobile device and just play that stuff, whether they're online or off. So that'd be my suggestion. There are other tools to do that, but Vimeo has that ability to, when you publish a video, you can make it downloadable. And that's a little bit different than YouTube, so Vimeo is probably a better choice there. So that'd be my suggestion. Vimeo, there is a free version, and then there's a paid-for version. Probably worth getting the paid-for version. Get almost, you don't get unlimited uploads, but you get more than enough that most churches or schools could ever use. And it's only like $70 a year, something like that. So Vimeo would be my suggestion and their related app. They've got one for Android, for iOS, and good stuff with Vimeo. So that'd be my suggestion, Tom. I'll give it some more thought, and maybe we'll talk about it in a future show. But if you have thoughts, I'd love for you to share those. And anybody that is listening or watching, that is always an open invitation. Just go to wellstech.wells.net and leave a comment on one of the show notes there. And or just send us an email, like many of you have, like you did, Tom, to wellstech@wells.net, or visit one of our many social network presences, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, etc. Speaking of Pinterest, Sally was so good to me to make sure that I had an opportunity to share something from Pinterest. She had to share it herself, which is fine, perfectly fine. Thank you, Sally, for giving me that Pinterest segment that I so desperately and weakly thirst for. So let me share with you her Pinterest post. And it is a Pinterest post of a infographic called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teachers Who Use Technology. So it's, as mentioned, it's a nicely done graphic. Those 7 habits really quickly are, they always start with the why. They are malleable and can easily adapt. They embrace change. They share, and then share some more. I think that's a big one. They think win, 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 win. They are extremely thorough and think 2 steps ahead. And finally, they actively care. Good stuff. On Pinterest, our Wells Tech Pinterest page has it, so if you want to reshare. My comment to Sally was, oh, Sally, you're going to make me tuck in a Pinterest item in community feedback, aren't you? Sly. Thanks, Sally. So that is our Pinterest segment of community, sub-segment of community feedback. And then there was one last piece of listener feedback to share, and that is from our good friend Clint Rogus. And this stems from a conversation from last week, which I missed, but Clint said, love the show this week. Of course he did, because Sally was flying solo. The video editing is of particular interest to me. I need to edit the video we do each week for our worship. All I need to do is cut out the sermon from the video. And there are reasons that you want to do that. One of them might be copyright. So the sermon would not infringe on any copyrights for performance or any of the other music that might be played or sung. The program you demoed seemed a little much for that, or at least now. Do you know of any free program that would allow me to do this? Sally responded. She talked about YouTube. YouTube has some a built-in video editor. You obviously have to upload to YouTube, but maybe that's where you're sharing it anyway. But they made some nice strides toward video editing in YouTube, so that may be an option for you, Clint. But she also shared a list of all kinds of other video editing pieces of software. Now, this the list she has here is for Windows, but you can find other lists for other platforms. So VideoPad, Masters Edition, Wondershare, CyberLink, Windows Live Movie Maker, Free Video Cutter, Free Video Compressor, all kinds of resources here. So take a look at those, Clint, or anybody else looking to edit video. Usually the operating systems have those tools, or again, a lot of these online repositories have them built in. If it's just real simple stuff like what Clint was asking for. That is going to end our listener feedback, community feedback section. I know I'd screw that up. Again, if you want to contribute, it's so easy to do, and this is really an important segment in my mind of the show. So please consider being a good Wells Tech citizen and sharing what you know, or it can be just a question. So wanted to share with you a video of the week, and actually I don't have it up here, but our featured video is a Pixel review. And we have this video up here to whet your appetite a little bit, because at our Wells Tech conference, we are going to be giving away a Pixel. And let me stop my screen sharing here and grab the box. So I've still got the shrink wrap on it. This is a $1,000 value, so we kind of baked that into the budget. We wanted to give something nice away. So this is kind of the grand prize. But the Pixel is a 15-inch Chromebook with a beautiful touchscreen, great battery life, just a very nice productivity tool. And wanted to make sure that you were aware of what it was, and maybe entice you, if you're not coming, to come to the Wells Tech conference. That's coming up here in 2 weeks, so there is still time to sign up. We have not closed the registration. It is available at wells.net/wellstechconf. So if you can't go, or if you're already going, encourage friends, family members, coworkers, whoever to join us as well. There still is room. It's going to be an awesome time. I'm really looking forward to this conference. So next week, we're going to do the show again. Hopefully, Sally will be back and refreshed, and she'll be at the controls of community feedback in safer hands than mine. We're going to talk about a little before and after, a little Wells Tech, we'll call it Wells Tech then and now, since it's the episode before our 400th episode. We're going to go way back to episode number one in January of 2008 and take a little bit of a walk down memory lane and look at some of the tech that we had talked about in the aught-8s and aught-9s, maybe, and see how that has changed over time, and how that compares to 2015, and maybe why it's changed, and maybe why that's a good thing for ministry. So tune in next week for Wells Tech Then and Now, just a little warm-up to our 400th episode. I want to thank everybody for sticking with me. I know it's tough just to see my face for, you know, the 50 minutes that we've been on board here, but or listen to my voice if you're just an audio listener. Glad you stuck with it. Glad you tuned into episode 398. And look forward to seeing you in episode 399. Thanks, everybody. Lord's blessings. See you next week.